Thank you, Mark, for that prayer. And you know, the imagery that we have in Scripture, and the imagery that comes out in our words and our prayers, and I especially thank Mark for praying that God would light a fire in our bellies. I like that. I thought when he said that, I thought, man, you know, that's what I want. I want to have that unsatiable, unquenchable desire to do what it is that God wants us to do and to be who it is that God wants us to be. I just want to have that to where that's all that I think about. I mean, there's times when all that I think about is food. And I know from looking at me, that's easy to believe. When there's times when then, you know, when you're just, you know, you're running or you're working out, and I don't do that very often, and I know that you can believe that too. But those times when you're just thirsty, that's all you can think about is the next drink that you're going to have. The next time that you're going to be able to just take a glass of water and just drink it and enjoy that refreshing, quenching power that has. That's all you can think about in those moments. But when I think about that fire in our belly, let's think about, man, all that I want is to be with the Lord, to be doing what He wants me to do, to be who He wants me to be close to Him, to feel His presence, and know that the only thing that's going to satisfy that lack, that desire, that longing is God. Man, what a prayer. What a desire. I want to be that kind of guy and have that kind of desire. I want to be that kind of dad. I want to be that kind of husband that is inspired by God and is longing for God. This morning, I want to talk about something as we continue in this journey, this new journey. And I want it to be a new journey. I want us to be thinking about our relationship with God as a new journey, beginning a new chapter of it every single day, even though that there's many of us in this room that have been Christians for a long time, that have been striving after God, have been learning of God for a long time. I think that it's important for us to think about it in a new way, in a fresh and new inviting light, that every day is new. Every day is a new opportunity to be in the presence of God. And as we think about this new journey, I want us to think about the glory of God and bringing glory to God. Last week, we talked about the importance in this journey of staying on task, and what happens when, you know, what do we do when life just doesn't go the way that we want it to go, and taking God with us, just like Joseph took God with him wherever he went, whether he was in the pit or whether he was being sold into slavery, whether he was, the ruler of Potiphar's house or whether he was in prison. He took God with him. The Lord was with him. Not that God just decided, you know what, I'm going to do good things for Joseph no matter where he finds himself. That wasn't the choice that was made. God is wherever we choose to recognize his eternal presence. Joseph made the conscious effort to take God with him no matter what. And this morning, I've already had people tell me, you know, I tried that and it was hard. I thought it was going to be an easier week than it was, but man, it was, you know, taking God with me no matter what. It didn't make things easier. And I thought, well, yeah, listen this morning, because you'll understand why. Because it's all about the glory of God and taking God with us and being who God calls us to be and doing what God calls us to do. It isn't easy, and it doesn't make everything easier. We can expect, like we talked about last week, we can expect divine favor, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. That does mean that God's going to be there and that He's going to work out everything in our life for good. This morning, we're going to talk about bringing glory to God and why it's important and what that means and how that looks in the lives of His people. And the first thing I want you to understand is we do what is important to us. You see, for Christians, it's important for us to understand that what we do is important. I understand a couple of things as non-negotiables in my life and in my relationship with the Lord. And the very first non-negotiable for me is that Jesus Christ died for the sins of all And sins are forgiven, and we have a relationship with God and will have a relationship with God for eternity because of that act and His grace. That's non-negotiable for me. The grace of God is what saves us. And yet, what I do is important. Because what I do is not a qualification for salvation, but what I do is a result of salvation. You see, when Peter says in Acts, and this is a bunny trail, I'm admitting it, we're going to hit it and then come back. When Peter says in Acts, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, it isn't so that we will acquire forgiveness of sins. It is because forgiveness of sins has taken place, and I want to align myself with the only one in the universe who needs to forgive me and who has forgiven me. Repent and be baptized. Your sins have been forgiven. Align yourself with that. Accept that. Live life according to that. Not so that they will be forgiven, but live life because they have been forgiven. That's a deep bunny trail. It's the truth. You can read it. It's in Acts. But what we do is important. Because we do what is important to us. See, if I'm living my life to bring glory to God, then that means the glory of God is important to me. If I'm living my life to bring glory to me, then that means the glory of me is important to me. See, whatever I'm doing, I do what's important to me. You know, if God is important to me, then I'll do what He wants me to do. If I'm important to me, then I'll do what I want me to do. It's the difference between, do we want to be influenced by the glory of God? I mean, think about that. That God is who He is. He is perfect. He is eternal. He is omnipotent. He is He's all powerful. He's all knowing. God is who God is. The glory of God exists, and there's nothing that we can do to take away from that, and there's nothing that we can do to diminish it. And so do we want to be influenced by the glory of God? Do we want to bask in the glory of God and be changed by who God is? And do we want to be an influence for the glory of God? See, is that important to us? Is being an influence for the glory of God important to me? You see, being influenced by the glory of God, well, that's knowing God. And being an influence for the glory of God, that's revealing God to other people. That's revealing God to a world that the Bible says does not know Him yet. But the Bible also says there will come a day when every knee will bow, when every tongue will confess. There will come a day when no one can say, I didn't know you were. So do we want to have the knowledge of God affect us? And do we want to have the knowledge of God be an effect on the world through us? Two questions we have to ask ourselves, because if we can answer yes to those two questions, then the glory of God is important to us. And what we do will reflect that. So what we do is important. Not as a checklist in order to hold a celestial gun to God's head saying, I've done this, 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 and this. Now give me the salvation that you owe me. No. But what we do is important because it establishes whether or not we know God and are known by God. You see, we can't say that we love God if we don't love other people. He says that. He says that we can't be forgiven unless we forgive. He says that also in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven us. Because then he goes on to say, because if you don't forgive, God can't forgive you. It doesn't mean that God's up there and say, oh, you didn't forgive that person of that thing. Then, I'm taking that forgiveness away. That's what he's talking about. He's saying, if you don't forgive, then you obviously don't believe that you've been forgiven. And if you don't believe that you've been forgiven, then you are blaspheming against the Holy Spirit of God, because that is what led Jesus to the cross. That is what brought Him out of the grave. That is what forgives us of our sins. So if we don't accept that and realize that, and if I don't realize that I've been forgiven, then I have no power to forgive anyone else. Because see, if I owe a huge debt, if I have a huge debt that I've got to pay off, then what's important to me? Having money. Because I need to have that money to pay that debt, right? And if that debt has been paid, what's the one thing that I don't need anymore? I don't need any money. Because I don't know anything. I don't know anything. And so if I don't owe anything, what am I doing? Going around trying to collect from people that owe me. Because money is immaterial to me. Because I don't owe anything, so I don't need anything. But see, if we keep going around trying to collect on those debts, well, then we've obviously not had our debt paid. That's what he's talking about. So what we do is important. What we do is important. Do we want to be influenced, and do we want to influence for the glory of God? Because when it boils down to it, God's glory will motivate the Christian. If we are a Christian, if we are Christ-like, if we are buried in His baptism, if we are raised in His resurrection, if we are awaiting our future glory as He was glorified by the Father, then God's glory will motivate, then we are Christians and His glory will motivate us. See, that's what it means to be a Christian, to be Christ-like. It means to be buried with Him, to be dead to the world and dead to sin, and to be resurrected from that burial and awaiting His future glory. And that glory will motivate the Christian, just like it motivated in Exodus 14 and 18. When God said, see, the glory of God is a motivating factor. And He said to the Israelites as they were fleeing Egypt, He said, I will show my glory through Pharaoh, someone who didn't want to believe in God, who didn't want to do what God wanted him to do, and wanted to pursue and kill God's people. And God said, I will show my glory through that ungodly person, through their horses and through their chariots. He said, I will be seen as the powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful, as we've been prayed over this morning, the only true and living God. God said, I will be seen as who I am through Pharaoh. Whether you love me or you don't, I'll be seen as who I am. And then in Exodus 16, 7 and 10, Aaron and Moses said, in the morning you will see the glory of God. He's talking about God's people are grumbling. They're out in the wilderness. They've been led out of slavery in Egypt. They've been led, through this oppression, and they're grumbling. Oh, we're going to die out here. Oh, this is terrible. So God's people not doing what God wants them to do. And then his spokesman, Aaron and Moses, said, well, you'll see the glory of God in the morning. He's going to provide for you. He's going to give you quail. He's going to give you meat to eat. He's going to give you manna. He's going to give you bread-like stuff to eat. God's going to provide. You will see His glory. When you wake up, when you need something, God will provide. You're going to see His glory. You know how they would not have seen His glory? If they had gone out and wrestled some meat, hunted, whatever. But they waited for God to provide. Now, that's not really our style, is it? And I'm not saying don't go to work tomorrow. And I'm not saying don't try to provide for yourself. But realize who it is that gives us the ability to have anything that we have. God is the one who provides. See God's glory through God's provision. And in Exodus 33, in verse 12, this is a pivotal verse. Moses goes before God and he says, you're telling me to lead these people. You're telling me to take them here. You're telling me to take them there. You're telling me to lead these people. And you know who I am. I got to know who you are. Show me your glory. See, as a motivating factor, Moses knew, unless I see you, unless I know exactly who and what and why and how I'm dealing with, show me your glory. I need more than these human eyes have seen. I need more than these human ears have heard. I need more than what this human mind has conceived. Show me your glory so that I will be able to do what you've called me to do. God's glory will motivate the Christian. So are you motivated by that? Or do you, like so many other people, like so many people that I talk to, that I read about, struggle with how great thou art? Or just how great art thou? I mean, do we struggle with is God really gonna come through? Is God really who He says He is? Is His glory really what I've read about? You know, how great are You? If all of this is going wrong, if what I planned and what I have on my itinerary is not coming to pass, if life just keeps being derailed, how great a God can this be? Do we struggle with that? Because in 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, we're told that the Christian with unveiled faces, see, there's a passage we're going to get to in just a minute. And if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn on over to 2 Corinthians, because we're going to kind of look at this briefly. But in 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, there's a passage later we're going to get to about Moses being in the glory of God and needing a veil and all that. But in verse 12, he says, therefore, since we have such a hope, we're very bold. Do you feel bold in your Christianity? Do you feel bold in your relationship with God? Do you feel like that you can do anything for the glory of God? Or do you feel restrained? Do you feel, and I know God said, you know, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. But you see, in Christ, the meek are bold. And the way that they inherit the earth is because they stand up and they do what God calls them to do. They live those lives. And then God gives them the earth. That's what it means to inherit it. It says, therefore, since we have such a hope, we're very bold. We're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while he was radiating, while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull. You see, that's the rest of the world. That's outside of the kingdom of God. Their minds are dull. They have this idea of who this God is that we sort of talk about, or that they read about, or that His name is thrown around on TV shows. They sort of have this idea, but because of just their lack of interest or their distance from Him, their minds are dull when it comes to God. I mean, the man upstairs, you know, going to the big shopping mall in the sky. Well, yeah, we got this idea of it. But the Christian, this veil has been removed. So not only does the glory of God radiate from us, but we can see more clearly so that we know God. We know how great. We're not wondering about Him. We're not confused about what it is that He wants us to do or whether or not He'll see us through. We know Him. This veil, this barrier that so many people have, this confusion about God and what it looks like to be a Christian, is removed from us. But the simple fact is that bringing glory to God is not easy. Living that life, taking God with us no matter what. Remember that? NMW, no matter what. It's not easy. In Exodus 34, this is the thing that we're just talking about. In Exodus 34, this is where the veil comes in. And starting in verse 29 and through, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets, the testimony in his hands, and all of this, you know, he had been in the presence of God. Moses had been with God and he had delivered this message. He had given them the commandments, the Ten Commandments. He'd given them a literary word picture of perfect holiness. That's what the Ten Commandments are. They're this word picture of what perfect holiness and set apart unto God looks like. And for us, that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, because the Ten Commandments aren't really exactly the gold standard for our law, because we live in the dispensation of love God and love others. Now, the Ten Commandments are still there and it's never changing. But for us, what we understand, or what I hope we understand, is that in Exodus 34 gives us a picture of why it's not easy to bring glory to God. Because Moses had been there. I mean, he had been in the glory of God. He was doing what we are doing right now. We are recognizing and basking in the presence of the eternal Almighty God. And the thing about Moses is that when he came down from that experience, he couldn't hide it right away because his face was glowing. Now, I don't know physically how that works. I can only imagine that maybe it was like a sunburn or something. I don't know what, but there was a light that was radiating, emanating from him, and it was visible, and people could see it. And Moses stood out from the crowd, and the people didn't like it because he was different. People that say, "Whoa, you got to do something." Can't even look at you. You're gonna have to. I mean, come on, veil that. It's ridiculous. So you know what he did? He veiled it. He put a veil over that. When we come into the presence of God, if the glory of God is important to us, so important that we seek it, that we act like Moses, "God, show me your glory." Guess what? We are going to look different. We're going to stand out. We will have something that other people don't have, and they won't like it. And the temptation will be to veil it, to put a veil over it. See, this even happens in the church. When, you know when people say stuff like, "Man, I was praying and God really spoke to me and he said, I need you to do this," and that makes a lot of people in the church uncomfortable. And you know why? Because God's not saying anything to them. He's not. And I've learned that, especially, and I have to tread really lightly as a preacher because, this is all I do all day long, is sit in the Word, pray about things, pray over my directory, over people, and just... And it's an experience. It is an experience. It's not an easy one, but it is an experience. And for anybody who wants to, I would highly encourage you to do this, to spend every day, to find a ministry and be a preacher, not here because this job's taken, hopefully, but because it's an experience. But it's a dangerous experience because you hear things and God speaks to you and you open up scripture and things like, and not everybody gets that, and people get, they get angry about that. "Well, God's not speaking to me, so he must not speak." And even in the church this happens. So guess what's going to happen if that happens in the church outside of the kingdom? Guess what's going to happen? When you start living life, bringing glory to God and talking about the glory of God and radiating the glory of God and having that face that shines and people cannot understand it and they don't have it, they're not going to like it. That's why it's hard to take him with us no matter what. Because there is a roaring lion. And just like God is speaking to us, that roaring lion is speaking to anyone who will listen. He's saying, "Who does he think he is? Who does he think he is? Talking to you like that, telling you what to do. Who is that person to judge?" I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying this is the life that God's called us to live. This is a better life. No. The life I've carved out for myself is just fine. I can do whatever it is I want. You're right. You can. I'm telling you, if you'll listen to the Lord, if you'll make this decision instead of that, life will be, "Who are you to tell me what's better?" Is that the experience that we have? Is it hard? Is it difficult? Because that lion, that Satan, he's out there and he's saying, "Man, that's not true. That's not true. God didn't say that to them. How do you know? You ever heard God? That glow that they have, it's nothing. They think there's something because of that glow." You're going to take him with you no matter what? It's not going to be easy. The last thing I want to say, this is just an indicator. What do you wear out? What do you wear out when it comes to your life. And what I mean by that is when you come walking, not what kind of clothes you wear out, but what are you just killing people over? You have people like that in your life. When you see them coming, like, oh my goodness, here he comes. He's going to tell me about that silly dog he's got. That was not a dig on you, Earl. I love your dog. Earl and I have this dog thing going. He's, you know. See, Earl wasn't a dog lover, then he got a dog, and now he is. And I think he's got, I think he's got pictures in his wallet. Just saying. What do you wear out when people come down the street? What are they? Oh man. If Mitchell tells me about that boy of his that wrestles one more time, I promise you. You know. If Troy and them Steelers, you know what? I hope the Steelers lose every game. I really don't. I mean, what do you wear out? What is it? What is it that you just can't talk about enough? And you don't care if they're not listening because you love it and you're gonna talk about it. What is it? It's the glory of God. Is it the glory of our Lord? Is it in Colossians 3 and 4 that whatever you do, whether you eat or whether you drink, whether you're socializing, whether you're alone, whatever you do to the glory of God. Or 1 Thessalonians 2 and 12, live lives worthy of God who calls you into His kingdom and into His glory. Can we this week wear people out about the glory of God to where our faces radiate, to where they say, man, that guy's got something I don't have. You know, that girl, that lady over there, she, you know, she's always talking about what God is. And no matter what I say to her, she always comes back with more God. It's like the guy who sat on his porch and just bringing glory to God, glory, praise be to God every day. And he had an atheist neighbor who, man, glory to God. Oh, there ain't no God. Glory to the Lord. Well, there's not a Lord. One day the guy didn't have anything to eat. He said, Father, I'm hungry. I need you to provide for me. I need groceries. I'm so down. I need something. And his atheist neighbor heard him. He said, I'll show him. So that guy went and he bought a bunch of groceries and he put it on his porch. And the next morning that Christian woke up and he said, oh, glory to God. I have groceries you have provided. And his neighbor jumped out of the woods and said, ha ha, that wasn't God, that was me. I bought those groceries. And he just started laughing. I said, what are you laughing at? I told you there's no God. I bought those groceries. And he said, the Lord provided and he got Satan to pay for it. It's not going to be easy. But can we bring glory to God? This week we're going to have a choice to make. Will we veil our faces or will we bring glory to God? There are people in this room this morning who need to start this journey, who need to come forward this morning and say, I confess Christ. I confess Him as my Lord and Savior, and I want to be baptized. I want to come out of that water this morning knowing that that sacrifice was for me. I want to have my sins. I want to align myself with the forgiveness that's already taken place. And I want to bring glory to God. What will it be this morning? Make a choice as together we stand.